With next month's budget just over 5 weeks away, the speculation, kite-flying and ministerial manoeuvring already well underway is expected, if anything, to intensify between now and Budget Day, September 27th. Plans already floated include a €15 across-the-board welfare payment rise, indexation of income tax bans and credits in line with inflation, tax relief for landlords and tax credits for renters, a reduction of the €3,000 student registration fee, extending the cut and excise duties on petrol and diesel into next year, and much more besides. Some €6.7 billion is available to Ministers McGrath and Donoghue for Budget 23, with a further €1 to €2 billion for a separate once-off cost of living package. The Minister of Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath, is in our Cork studio. A very good afternoon to you, Minister, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian.
So as Heather Humphreys put it rather colourfully, she'd need to be an octopus to control all the flights, all the kites that have been flown in relation to her department alone in recent weeks. I mean, can you be clear about this at the outset? If we put all these pieces of speculation together, can the budget measures that have been floated be delivered with the money that's available?
I think the honest answer to that is no, Brian. And the truth of the matter is that no decisions have yet been made. The good thing is that we have agreed the parameters of the budget, and we did that in the summer economic statement, which Minister Donoghue and I brought to government, and he outlined the total package there of €6.7 billion for what we might call the normal annual budget for 2023. The vast bulk of that will be allocated for 2023, with a small element of it being brought forward into the current year, and almost 5.7 of that 6.7 billion will be on the spending side, and just over €1 billion on the taxation side. I think we have to remember, ultimately, this is the public's money. The government is the guardian of those resources, and we need to use it wisely. And we have to ensure that we manage the public finances responsibly into the future, because that is in all of our interests. So what I and Minister Donoghue need to do in the next number of weeks is, within those parameters, bring forward a budget that meets the core priorities of government. And alongside that package of 6.7 billion, as you've identified, there will be a separate package of one-off measures. And thankfully, the public finances are in generally good health. The economy has recovered well from COVID. And so there is some scope to go beyond that 6.7 billion in the context of once-off cost of living measures. And so it's a twin-track approach as such.
OK, and I want to come to that cost of living package in just a moment. But first of all, in relation broadly to some of the budget areas, and as you say, decisions have yet to be finally signed off on, and you're obviously not going to announce Budget 23 here on air this lunchtime. But if we take an area like social welfare, are you minded that in terms of the basic weekly payments, that they should all be broadly similar, any increases across the board, and that would include job seekers allowance?
Well, I mean, that is a detailed decision that has yet to be made in relation to policy decisions that we will make in the context of the budget. There are currently different rates attached to different social welfare payments. The state pension, for example, attracts a higher rate than a number of other schemes compared to, say, job seekers or a carer's allowance or invalidity and disability allowance and so on. So we will have to look at all of those in the context of the budget. The tax strategy group did a certain amount of work and took some illustrative examples and set out what the costs of those are.
Yeah.
But I bring it back to the overall context, Brian. From where I sit, I have to make sure on the spending side that we stick to the guardrails that we have agreed, the parameters, and that imposes a certain discipline. It means that we have to prioritise. I always say to my colleagues, everything can't be the priority. We have to make decisions that focus on the real needs that people have. And so the 5.7 billion that I have on the spending side, over half of that is already pre-committed, about €3 billion of it. And the balance then of 2.7 billion will have to fund everything else that we decide to do.
Yeah, I mean,
and that includes public service pay costs, housing, healthcare, social welfare, education, childcare, justice, and I could go on.
Indeed.
So we have
and
to make decisions within those parameters. And I think that's the core point that I want to make.
And if you take, for example, and one figure that's been mentioned is the possibility of a €15 a week increase in those weekly social welfare payments. The figure, the cost that's been put on that is over €1 billion, €1.1 billion. Is that the scale of funding that might have to be available if particularly the least well-off are to be protected from what's happening in terms of the cost of living and rising prices?
Well, I think for any individual looking at this budget on the 27th of September, they will want to know what it means for them in total. So, you know, they're not overly concerned which pot it comes from. Does it come from the normal annual budget, or does it come from the set of one-off measures? They will want to know, you know, what does it mean for them in terms of their weekly payments and their one-off payments into the future. So we have to look at it in the round, and what is the collective impact of what we decide to do as a government in the context of the budget overall, looking at those two key elements of it. And that's certainly how I will be approaching it on the expenditure side in the next five to six weeks.
And that cost of living package to be funded from surplus tax revenues, which I think a figure of €5 billion has been put on that. What's expected to be the value of that package? How much do you think you're going to have available?
It will be next month before we finalise what the overall quantum of that package is. But thankfully, because the public finances have been well managed through COVID and the economy has recovered, there is some scope there for a significant package. But we will have to strike a balance between targeted measures, which are focused on those that need it the most and who are really carrying the heaviest burden at this time in relation to inflation and energy costs, but also have measures that have a broader application, because there are many people who have a level of income that puts them above the eligibility threshold for any state benefits, and they too are feeling pressure and will need assistance. So in the next number of weeks, we'll finalise what the overall envelope is in terms of value and then what the composition of it is. We are conscious that this could be a very difficult autumn and winter period, in particular in relation to gas prices, which will feed into electricity costs as well. And that is a very important issue for households, for community groups, but for businesses too. Yeah, and we will have to take that into account in the weeks ahead.
We had those cut in excise duties on petrol, I think 20 cent a litre, and diesel 15 cent a litre. Now, they're due to expire at the end of this month, ahead of the budget. Will they be extended beyond the end of August, do you think?
That has already been done. So the decision to extend them beyond the budget is one that will be considered in the context of the budget day announcement. So the taxation measures that have already been announced are going to remain in place until the budget, and then the future of them will be announced in the context of the budget and would need to be funded then out of the €1 billion or so that's available on the taxation side. So again, it is a question of priorities, and I think we've been very clear that the overall priority in respect of our announcements on the 27th of September will be to address the cost of living pressures that people are facing. We can't go the full way, but we will do the very best we can to help with the resources available, while also having an eye on all of the other pressing issues that the country is facing, whether it be housing provision, you know, reform of healthcare. And there are a number of exceptional costs that will continue to be incurred through next year. Provision for the Ukrainian refugees. Yeah. COVID hasn't gone away.
You mentioned public sector pay. Sorry to cut across you. Sure. And we know earlier this year the unions rejected an offer of 5% over 2 years. Will there be an improved offer?
So we have been invited back by the WRC to talks, and I expect those will happen either next week or the week after. And we are very conscious that living standards are under pressure for all workers and people on fixed incomes too. WRC asked us, and indeed the employees' representatives, to reflect on where the talks had paused. We have done that. We will come forward with a revised offer. One specific issue that I think we do need to engage with the representatives on is the question of the time frame of any agreement. We have said from the beginning our preference would be to agree pay terms for next year as well, but the most recent statements from ICTU in particular has pointed to an unwillingness to talk about next year until, as they would see it, there has been a satisfactory review of the existing agreement. So that does raise some practical issues, because if we agree terms for the remainder of this year, for example, when then do we sit down to talk about public service pay for next year? So that is an issue I think we'll have to address early on in the discussions.
Just finally, Minister, the controversy surrounding your colleague Robert Troy, he's acknowledged inaccuracies in his return to the Standards in Public Office Commission. This concerned a number of properties which he owned and didn't declare. Now, he says he's going to amend that return, and he'll update the information. Is that enough, or should he make a fuller statement, do you think?
Well, I think Robert has made a number of statements so far, and he has committed to updating his return, and I believe he's in the process of doing that at this moment. And, you know, he acknowledges he made a genuine mistake here. I believe that that is what it was. The key issue appears to be that in respect of the properties in particular, in the year in which they were disposed, he didn't see the need to make a declaration in that year, even though he had made a declaration in the prior years in respect of the properties. And so he acknowledges that that was a misinterpretation on his part of those rules, and he is going to correct that, which is the right and proper thing to do.
He also, it emerged, sold a property to a local authority, but that doesn't have to be declared under the SIPO rules as they stand. Should that kind of property transaction involving a public representative, should it be reportable? Should it be declared? Should the rules be changed?
So it is SIPO's interpretation of the current legislative provision that the sale of property is not declarable, whereas the sale of goods or services under a contract worth, I think it's over €6,500, is declarable. That's an issue that I think needs to be examined and will be examined as part of the comprehensive review of the ethics legislation, which is currently underway. I am in the process of concluding that work, and I expect to bring recommendations to government in the coming weeks, because there is outstanding work in relation to our ethics legislation, standards in public office, looking back at various recommendations from different tribunals of inquiry that we've had, for example, and looking at best practice internationally. All of that work is at a very advanced stage, and I'll be bringing recommendations to government very shortly.
Very good. Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Michael McGrath, thanks for talking to us on the programme.